man. Pentecost Sunday is about the start of the church. And a church is only as strong as the families that are in the church. And so a few weeks ago, we started a series on the families. And we're going to continue this series through Father's Day. And today I'm talking to you about families need to seek the Lord. Families need to seek the Lord. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, which is called the second law, right? The second law. So it's Moses speaking to them again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. And he actually goes on, he talks, if you really want to know how to run your family, you need to read Deuteronomy 6. The Old Testament is not outdated. It's still God's Word. It's still anointed. It foreshadows and it projects. It's a fractal of who Christ is. So it points us to Christ. It says, now this is the commandment. bet I couldn't say that again. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Anybody want some prolonged days? Hallelujah. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign. I'm reading too far. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we are not seeking the wisdom of a man, but we're seeking your wisdom, God. Lord, families are in desperate shape across our world, Christian and unchristian both, God. We are so dependent upon you, and we need you to come and heal our land. We need you to heal the families. So, God, we're going back to the instructional manual, God. We're seeking your face to find out. Lord, you designed the family. You created the family. Now, Lord, teach us how to raise children. Teach us how to conduct, Lord, our family. How can a man and a wife, Lord, dwell together in unity and love each other? Lord, for all their life, God, we know it's possible. We know, Lord, that you will give us the instruction, Lord. We know, Lord, you said the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So, God, we're asking you today to order our steps, to direct us, to give us wisdom where we lack it. Lord, instead of getting our wisdom from a newspaper or a magazine or television, we seek the face of God today. Lord, we are opening our hearts and we're asking you, pour out a blessing upon us, God. And if there were wrong in any way, make us right, Lord. We humble ourselves in your sight. Father, we admit we do not have all the answers. Lord, there's often times we don't even know the right questions. God, we need help. Lord, I pray today, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Not in their sight, but in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses is teaching the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. Hallelujah. But they've not entered into the promised land. You know what? That's where we're at. We've come out of Egypt. We've come out of bondage. We've come out of the place of sin. But we've not arrived, have we? Bless God, you're going to have to wake up. There's going to be a long sermon if you don't wake up. So he is giving them some very good instruction that is still relevant today. And so he tells them this. The very first thing he says is fear the Lord. I believe this is something that the church is missing today. The fear of God. I looked that up and it says to know that God is good. That he's merciful and forgiving. We preach that all the time. But we also need that he's holy. He's just and he's righteous. It's fear of the Lord is to live in awe of his holiness, to give complete reverence and honor, to know alone that God saves. No one else can save your soul but God. He can rescue you. I don't care what pit you have got yourself into. You ought to know that you serve a God that can reach down to the deepest pit and pull you out. Hallelujah. He tells us to obey all his commandments and decrees, and not just to for us to obey them, but teach your children to. Did Israel do that? No. Not at all. Once they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they come out and it said that they did not know the God that brought them out. These people experienced miracle upon miracle upon miracle, as you have. And yet, are we passing these virtues, these truths, these values down? I said Wednesday night, we're this close to losing a generation, folks. You hear me? We're close to losing a generation. Why? Because you've shut your mouth. The church has quit bragging on God. They've quit saying, we've got this attitude that I got my act together. What's wrong with you? You didn't get your act together. Jesus saved your dirty soul. So we don't stand in pride ever. We stand in humility and say, thank God for his grace, right? Thank God that he found me before I was even searching for him. He saw me and he came to me. Hallelujah. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. That is the verse when they ask Jesus, tell us the greatest commandment. That's the verse. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. It's the royal law. Folks, he tried to make it so simple for us. Thank God. Hallelujah. He made it so simple. Here, let's boil it down. Here's what Christianity is. Now, if you have a problem with this, you might not be saved. Love the Lord your God. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. I choose to love and live in submission to him. Right? That's love. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my master. He's my savior. I don't get to do my own thing. I live in obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not perfectly. Love the Lord, then love your neighbor. That's real Christianity. If you're sitting here today and some name comes across your mind, you say, I hate that person. They hurt me. I'll never forgive them. You can with God's help. I promise you. With God's help, you can forgive anybody. God will empower you to do what your flesh cannot do. And it's a big deal. You may think, well, that's not a big deal. Oh, yeah, it is. See, if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Do you want your forgiveness to stop? I don't. So if it's going to continue in your life, you need to continue forgiving others. And then the last thing he said to them, commit wholeheartedly and repeat them again to your children. Commit wholeheartedly. Are you in it? Come on. I really want you to answer that. Are you in it? I ain't leaving. not this building. I ain't leaving his presence. Some of you think I'm not leaving this building. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. You hear me? Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I stood at my mother's casket and I declared, Mom, I will see you again. I made my mind up years ago. Folks, I'm a long way from perfect. I'm not talking about perfection, but I decided a long time ago, this is it for me. I am a nobody. I don't know. I'm just so humbled today. I don't know why, but I'm so humbled to tell you I'm nobody special except to him. Hallelujah. He put his love in my heart and I ain't leaving it. You better be dead dog decided, because hell's coming. Hell's coming after your decision. I'm telling you, I've been talking to people. Deception is already here. We talk about the coming of Jesus. In the church, we're just talking about Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. Well, before he comes, deception comes. You hear me? Christians are getting taken out of the game because they're being deceived. You ought to know. You better know. No turning back. Wholehearted. And then when you know, you teach your children. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're talking today about seeking first the kingdom of God. You can't talk about seeking first the kingdom without talking about Matthew chapter 6. And so you need to understand Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is not from Peter. It's not from Paul. It's not from any of the disciples. This is coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Does that make it more anointed? No, not really. If it's in the book, God's put his spirit upon it. It's all anointed. But for some reason, it seems to matter to us. He starts in verse 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters. Can we preach? Well, we sure try to. When the church decides to divorce the love of money, we will see a revival in the land. Do you know money is a god? Do you know that money offers you the same things that God does? Money says, if you'll get enough of me, you'll have joy. If you get enough money, you'll have peace of mind. It's the same promises that God makes, only it's a lie. Now, God is not against you having money. I pray you have a bunch of it in your tithe. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying you can have a lot of money, but it can't have you. I know that's a cliche, but it's so much truth in that. You don't serve money. You don't serve things. You don't serve the God of this age. We serve Christ. No one can serve two masters, for he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the others. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love that verse? What you'll eat, what you'll drink. Do you realize how much time we spend on that? I get done with breakfast and I'm starting to ask about lunch. Hey, what are we having for lunch? We grocery shop, right? We start planning our meals, we grocery shop, then we go, and then we have to cook it all, and then we eat it, and then we have to clean it up. We spend a lot of time. Courtney said yesterday that he really believed seeking the Lord was about starting in the morning. He said, just like when you get up, you brush your teeth, you hope, and you take a bath, and you get ready, physically you get ready. And what if we did that spiritually? What if we sought the Lord early in the morning and we cleanse, let Him cleanse our heart in the morning, right? So He says, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I would be 10 foot tall if you could. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now listen to this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Buddy, get in there. Get to know who you serve. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We cannot serve two masters. You need to decide in your heart, when is there enough? There's a trick in America. I don't care how much you have, you want just a little bit more. We call that greed. And I want you to say, when is enough enough? When do I have enough that I can be a blessing to others? Now, you don't start giving then. You start giving in your poverty so that God will take you out of that poverty, right? You know what the Lord says? The Word of God says this, if you'll give to the poor, the Lord will remember it. The Lord will remember how much you give to the poor. The Lord knows. Can you? Wish I could get that through to you. We need to simplify our life. Oh, Mika, how should I do this? How many of us have storage buildings? How many of us, they're too small? How many of us are thinking about building a new barn? You get what I'm saying? We've got a guy here that rents storage buildings, so I don't want to go too far down this. We just keep adding it on. And I'm going to tell you, I really believe this is a word from the Lord. We need to simplify. Simplify your life. Amen. Appreciate your enthusiasm. Matthew 18:3 says, unless we become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children are simple. They don't worry. You know why they don't worry? Because mama and daddy will take care of it. Right? You don't have kids going, what are we going to eat? How are we going to pay the electric bill? How are we going to do this? There it is. Can I go outside and play? And the Lord says, that's what I want for my kids. I want you to be towards God like your children were to you. Trusting. You know, it's a difficult thing to trust God. It's so easy to preach about, but it ain't easy to do. And when you start doing it, I promise you that worry is going to come back. You just got to keep putting that down. Let me just get really specific. Worry is a sin. It's taking matters into your own hand, trying to provide for yourself, whatever you're truing. It's trying to do it all on you. You can't do it. You need God's help. And so he made it so simple. He said, if you'll just seek me and my righteousness first, come on, come on. Not second, not tenth, not 100th, number one over your job, over your spouse. Seek Him. How do you do that? Until you start seeking Him, worry will be your friend. We talked about it yesterday. Be still and know that I am God. That's not just something cute to put on a poster. That's the Word of God. And sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, would you shut up? You need to be quiet and get in the presence of God. It's the presence of God that will change your heart. I don't care how much you try to change you, you can't do it. But if you'll get in His presence by meditating on His Word, God will change you. There are folks here that's going to be baptized, and it's because they got in the presence of God and He changed them. We are not going to be talking about their past today. But I'm going to tell you, they ain't good people. But they're saved people. Do you know that God says, He never says, I'll forget your sin? He never says that. He says, I'll remove your sin. So this young man sitting here today that will be baptized, I love this guy. I love the testimony, and I'm embarrassing him right now. This guy is a new creation in Christ Jesus. He is not the person he used to be. So let me just say something. Don't remind people of their past. Don't remind them of who they used to be. And hey, you remember how drunk we used to get? That's a sin. Stop that nonsense. Talk about the righteousness of God. Talk about how excited you are that His life has changed, that He's doing good now. Seek first. Pastor R used to say that God's word has to be first place and final authority. I love that saying. I just didn't know what it meant. I thought, what's that mean? I understand first place. I get that. I never came in first place. That's why I know so. You're not going to believe it, but I ran track in eighth grade. Yeah, I was the slowest guy on the team, so I didn't ever compete, but I... First place. When you have a problem, it's the first place you go to. You need wisdom? Go to the Word. Final authority? This is the part that I didn't understand. When you find that wisdom, look nowhere else. Don't keep consulting. See, when you understand what God's Word says about a certain situation, you don't have to look elsewhere. You've got the authority right there. What's it going to take for me to change? What's the Word of God says? Well, that's what I'm going to do. Let's go back just a second to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Hardest verse in the Bible as far as I'm concerned. Because I'm a guy that's always leaning on my understanding. I'm trying to figure it out. Trying to direct my own steps. But I don't get to direct my steps. And I don't even have to figure it out. He's already figured it out. All I have to do is lean in. Lean into the Spirit of God. You know, He will heal your marriage. He will fix your children. Do you know how many kids, I'm talking little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old. You know how many little children have an anger problem today? Where's all this anger that's coming out of our kids? Why are they so angry they explode? don't know where it's coming. I've told you I'm not that smart. I just know the one that can remove it. You hear me? Lay your hands on that baby. Pray the prayer of faith. Believe God. I'm not just tossing out words. I'm telling you, how do we seek first the kingdom? Worry is not your friend. That's no value. Faith pleases God. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. I'm just going to throw one more thing out. Would you quit calling it my anxiety? Well, my anxiety is just kick it up. Well, kick it out. It ain't your anxiety. It's from the devil. It's not a gift of God. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know me. You're right, but I know me. And I know what anxiety will do to you. I know what worry does. It will break you, folks. You may need to go to the doctor and get some medicine. I'm not against that. But healing comes from the Lord. The Lord will touch you, will help you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The parable of the sower says this, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke off the word and it becomes unfruitful. If Satan can't get you into sin, he'll try to get you into worry. He will try to start putting stuff in your life to get you so overloaded, so overcrowded in your mind, you just don't have time to pray anymore. I don't have time to read the Word. Well, if you don't have time to read the Word, you're too busy. Shame on you. You should have amen that. God's not against you planning. I'm a big planner, and I think God has given us a brain. God wants you to plan. The difficult thing is, as you plan, you've got to allow God to change your plan. Don't stick it in concrete. Right? Keep it fluid, folks, because God may direct your course in a different way. You are valuable to God. Would you repeat that with me? I am valuable to God. Let's say that again. I am valuable to God. He cares about me. You understand that? He says, if I take care of the sparrows, how much more will I take care of you? Man, that gives me great comfort. Right? Seeking first the... Oh, I'm going to say something that's going to not... You're not going to like it. But I'm going to say it anyway. Church attendance is not seeking first the kingdom of God. Go with me one more. It's not even a good sign that you are seeking first the kingdom of God. Is church attendance important? Absolutely it is. Hear me? The Bible says, attend church. Even more so as you see the day approaching. Guys, the day is approaching. But is it a good sign? No, it is not. See, we can fool each other. You can put that mask on and come to church and say, oh, I got my act together. Oh, me and God, we're like this. He's the big one. No, that ain't true. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. God knows whether you're seeking His face. Let me go one more, and this just came in my spirit. An absence of problems is not, you get me? An absence of problem is not a good indication that you're seeking God first. If you think, well, I'll seek God with all my heart, I'll seek God first, and then all my problems are going to go away. No. It's actually probably the opposite. See, when you really get serious with God and you start seeking Him with all your heart, you just put a big old target on your head. They did that one time at the picnic, right? And that's where he's headed. Satan's going to say, you think God's first? You think you're going to seek Him with all His heart? Let me try this one. See if this will steal your joy. You have got, you hear me? We have got to be determined people. Folks, this is just coming out of me so much. We are living in a time of great deception. Get in the book and find the truth so that nothing can shake you in the end times. I want to tell you one more story. I want to share with you, what does this look like? In Acts chapter 10, it's a story of a guy who was not Jewish. He was a Roman officer. His name was Cornelius. You know, most of the time the Bible doesn't give us the names. But he's pinpointing this one. He said, you go back and you study your history, you'll hear about Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, all of his kids, all of his servants. You can't come into this house if God is not first. You're not working in my regiment unless God's number one. He took a hard line. Are you following me? You know, Christians are just too soft today. Okay. He was a devout man, one who feared God. He was a guy that sought first the kingdom of God. He didn't know about Jesus, but he knew about God. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. When he observed it, he said, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? Isn't it funny that they never say, who are you? You know, when they're a seeker of God and God gives them a vision, they know. It's you, Lord. He says, your prayers, man, I love this line. Your prayer and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Let's just stop right there for a second. You got to get that line. See, some of us think that God doesn't know. God doesn't know that I'm a tither, that I'm a giver, that I'm helping the homeless. God doesn't know if I put food in that blessing box. Does God even hear my prayer? This man that did not even know Jesus prayed to God. He was a God worshiper. And he was a giver. Did you get that? He was a generous giver. And the Bible says it came up before the throne of God as a memorial. Don't miss that. Because Cornelius was nothing more special than you. I'm telling you, what you do for God matters and God takes notice. Don't be a bucket plunker. Throw that money in the... You need to realize what you have in your hand is a seed. And you plant that seed in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for your enthusiasm. and it will bear fruit. Your prayers of alms have come up as a memorial before the Lord. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He'll tell you what you must do. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants. He didn't wait for a week. He called two of his household servants, devout soldiers from among those who waited on him continually. So they had explained all of these things to him, and he sent them to them. Now, at the very same time, God gave Peter a vision. I love this. Peter has a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, and it's full of unclean food. You know what I mean by that? I'm not talking about dirty food. I'm talking about food that a Jew would not eat. Non-kosher. Pork. Catfish. I'm sure bacon was on there. And he says, I want you to get up and eat, Peter. Peter, being a good Jewish boy, kept the law all of his life. He said, no, no, no. I am not eating that. Now, I want you to get this. Cornelius, the worshiper of God, God speaks to one time. Peter, hard-headed Peter, lover of Jesus, but hard-headed. Come on. Am I talking to some hard-headed people in here? Three times, God spoke to Peter. Do what I say, boy. Get up and eat. Okay, let me make it really clear. God was not talking about that food. He was talking about people. Do you know that sometimes you have to unlearn something before you can learn the right thing? Do you know, I think it's more difficult to unlearn than to learn something new. So sometimes the Lord has to break down some things in you before he can put new things in. Does that make sense? So we have to stay open to God. Who was it that God spoke to? He said, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. You know what? Was it Isaiah? I was thinking. You know what my words to Christ would be? Don't try that in the church. Don't try doing nothing new in the church, because we already got you figured out. We know how you work. Don't you do nothing new, because we're going to think it's the devil. I'm definitely preaching better than you're shouting now. Are you willing to let God change some things in your heart, maybe that you got wrong? Let me just say it. Maybe mama taught you wrong. She didn't mean to. I'm not talking bad about mama. She didn't mean to, but we tend to repeat what we were taught. And if she was taught wrong, then she's going to teach you wrong. You've got to get before the face of God with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and say, make me new. I want to see it from your part, God. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible says, God knows all who are His. So Peter is directed to go to Cornelius' house. When he gets there, he basically tells Cornelius, do you know how wrong this is? A Jewish boy is not supposed to enter into a Gentile house. This is wrong. This is bad. This is bad. This is really bad. Except that God said, do it. He goes in and he began to teach the word. He began to tell them about who Jesus is. They didn't know Jesus. They knew God. They didn't know Jesus, but Peter opened his mouth. And the Bible says this, that as he was explaining the word, the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. Why? It was a witness to Peter that the very same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost happened to them. So obviously, God is accepting the Gentile believers. Right? God is moving out of his box to do greater things. Amen. Do you know how bad God hates racism? I don't think you do. I think we need to be really careful. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile, black and white, Hispanic and white. All of us are one. And he has broken down," listen to this, "he has broken down the middle wall of separation." Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Treva, would you come? Say, "I have decided to follow Jesus." You know, only you can answer the question, "I'm seeking him first." I can't answer that for you. I wouldn't even try. One of the greatest things that I see besides deception that's coming into the body of Christ is complacency. God, the devil is trying to crowd our mind and our spirit with so many things that we're not seeking him with all of our heart. We're not chasing after him as the deer. Right? Isn't that what David says? Psalms 42, "As the deer goes for the water, so my soul." He says, as the deer runs after that water. When's the deer run? When he's being chased. See, Christians don't understand, but you're being chased. The devil is on your heels. You hear me? You better know you got an enemy. The devil wants to take you out. And one of the ways he does it is through worry. I'm speaking to your spirit. And the way to overcome worry is to seek first the kingdom. You know, God doesn't want you heavy-hearted. God doesn't want you loaded down with all that junk. God wants to free you. First of all, God wants to introduce himself to some people today. I believe there's some people in this room that don't know Jesus. And God says, "I want to come into your life. I want to forgive you of your sin. And I want to be your Lord and Savior." You know what the question really is? Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you follow Jesus? If he does that for you, will you follow Jesus? With your head bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, "You know, I don't really know for sure that I'm born again," would you just raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray a prayer for you. Say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to make sure today that I'm born again." Amen. I see your hands. Amen. See that hand. See your hand. Amen. Now, most of you that have raised your hand, I know you. You are born again. See, that's another trick the enemy does. The devil wants to make you think that you're always not saved. And you need to have this settled in your spirit that I am born again. Now, that doesn't mean that you're sinless. That doesn't mean that you're not going to keep making mistakes, but you need to ask Jesus to forgive me and then endeavor to live for Him. And when you mess up, when you make a mistake, when you sin, you say, Jesus, forgive me of that sin. And then you get yourself up and you start back on the track. Don't live in condemnation to that. Now, I'm still going to pray, because I believe these that raise their hand need that. So can we pray? Jesus, I come before you today, and you saw those that raised their hand. Lord, where there's just a little bit of doubt there, like, am I really born again? Will I, if I die today, will I enter into the throne room of heaven? Will I come through the gate? Father, I thank you, Lord. You don't forget our sin. You remove our sin. I pray today, Lord, for these five people that raised their hand, God. Let there not be any doubt in their mind that they are born again. God, I pray right now that they would just ask you to come in their heart, forgive them of their sin, and be their Lord and Savior. And I think, Father, what's going on is they need to make the decision that I'm not turning back. And I'm going on with God. No matter what happens, I am marching forward to Jesus. I pray, Jesus, that you would seal that in their heart. Now, Father, I pray for those that are eat up with worry. I pray for that one that has come in today that's got so much anxiety and so much fear going on in their heart. They don't have any joy because of the cares of this life. Lord, it may be that they don't know how they're going to pay their electric bill. They don't know where they're going to meet their rent. But God, you gave us a promise. You said, if I take care of the sparrows, I'll take care of my kids. I pray, Lord, let their minds be at ease today that they serve a great God. Father, let's start by saying, forgive us for worry. Forgive us for being anxious. Lord, we want to live life differently. I pray, Father, right now, Lord, that you would take that worry out of their heart and teach them that every time worry tries to slip back in, to deny it entrance and to verbally say, I am trusting God. Father, I thank you. I know how awful worry is. I know what it's like to come to that edge. God, I pray for your peace, and I pray for a mighty hand of God to be upon all of our minds, to set our minds at peace today. Father, we're getting ready to have a picnic. And I pray, God, let this church fellowship together. As we baptize folks, let us celebrate together. Father, let us rejoice for what you have done in this camp. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're being baptized, you might want to slip out right now and put some baptism clothes on. And that's not your underwear. You got to stay clothed. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave here, and there's a baptism tank right out there on the patio area. And even if you're not staying for the picnic, stay for the baptism. Just gather around as much as you can. And so we're going to baptize about 6 or 7 people. And it's great for you to witness that God is doing something in their life. So I'm asking Denny to come and end us with the blessing. You have something? No. And so don't leave, all right? Don't leave yet. Even if you're not staying for the picnic, we want you to stay for the picnic, but don't leave until the baptism is done. Thank you, Denny.
For me, the way I kind of help myself understand baptism is when you get saved at salvation, you get born again, right? That's your date and your time of birth, of rebirth. Baptism is kind of like your birthday party, okay? So remember when your kids were little, if their birthday was like on a Tuesday that year, you would wait until the weekend to have their party so their friends could come and all that. So baptism is where we celebrate. We have the party for the people that were born again, right? So that's why it's so important that we celebrate this together. And it's wonderful for us as the family of God to be supportive like that for one another. So please stay for that. If you can't stay for the picnic, please stay for that at least. But if you can't stay for the picnic, please stay. We want to fellowship. We want to get to know you. We want to hang out. I think the kids have like a slip and slide or something going. We got all kinds of stuff. There's plenty of chairs, plenty of shade, plenty of food, plenty of everything. So it'll be a great time, great time. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.